And Allah Ta'ala must also take us for Hajj over and over again. Whether we've been for Hajj before, or whether we have not been for this great ibadat and pillar of deen of Hajj, that Allah Ta'ala must take us. Many a times we feel that if I went for Hajj, now it's not possible for me to go for Hajj again. Many of us feel that because of the exorbitant price now, how expensive it is for a person to travel on this journey and fulfill this great amal and ibadat, that it will not be possible. That every year the price is increasing, etc. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that don't look at all these things. We shouldn't be looking at the accreditation and the registration and all these other things, these formalities that are in place. He said these are all formalities that we have to do them. But our yaqeen and our trust and our conviction must not be based on this. That if I have wealth, then I will be able to do Hajj. That if my name comes out, I have to fill in the accreditation. If it comes, I get accredited, then I will go for Hajj. Or I'm old or I'm young now, I will not be able to go for Hajj. Many a time, a person that put your name down, register for Hajj, you say, when my name will come out, I don't even have the funds. We already have lost hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We already lost hope in the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our yaqeen and our trust must be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all means and asbab. But our yaqeen and our trust are not on this. These are formalities which we will carry out, but ultimately it's the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala will call a person, all these things become irrelevant. Whether it's there or whether it's not there, if Allah ta'ala calls a person, then a person will go for Hajj. So we all must make this effort. One is we make dua. We cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do those a'mal that show our talab and our desire to be present in the Haramain Sharifin physically. And together with that also, we have to use our means that is around us, meaning we have to save some money also. But the thing is, we have to do what is within our capacity. When we will show that from our side, then Allah Ta'ala will open up doors and avenues. Allah Ta'ala will make the impossible possible, will make it a reality. But we have to have this conviction and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the days of Hajj. Many of us will not be going there. But our hearts should be there. Our desire should be there. We should be there with the people who are there at the moment. Physically we are here. But spiritually, emotionally, mentally, we are there with those people that are performing Hajj. And then one day Allah Ta'ala will take us as well. There was an incident mentioned that when the person has the talab and the desire, and he does what is within the capacity, and even if Allah Ta'ala does not take him in this world, but Allah Ta'ala will count him amongst those who have made Hajj, accepted Hajj. What counts and what matters is in the court of Allah Ta'ala, acceptance. That's what counts in the court of Allah Ta'ala, acceptance. It mustn't happen such that so much of ibadat we are making in this dunya, reading our salah, going for Hajj, fasting in Ramadan, etc. But if these a'mal are not accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala, it carries no value. So together with carrying out the a'mal, we should have ikhlas, make dua of acceptance. So even if in this world physically we don't end up going, but we show that talab and desire, that inshallah Allah Ta'ala will count us among those who have accepted Hajj. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, it is mentioned, the author of Ma'riful Quran. Ma'riful Quran is a tafsir commentary of the Quran and Majid. About 8 volumes. He's written the tafsir. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written the Ma'riful Quran, 8 volumes. He's mentioned that he is the father of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakat, who is currently alive in Pakistan. The Grand Mufti of Pakistan, his father, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. He's mentioned on one occasion that his daughter came to visit him. And his eldest daughter, it was, her children was even elder than Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, who is currently alive at this point. Her children was elder than her own brother, because he was the younger one, and this was his eldest sister, the eldest daughter of Mufti Shafi Sahib. On one occasion, she came home, and she told her father, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, that make dua, we want to go for Hajj. So he told her, I'm not going to make dua for you. She was a bit surprised that why don't you want to make dua? We want to go for Hajj. We want to make intention and niyat and go for Hajj. So he asked her, what preparation have you made for Hajj? Means what have you done on our part, what have we done? On our part, what did we do? One is to make dua, but what have we done? So have you made any preparations? Did you prepare yourself? Did you save any money? Together with dua, etc. Also, we have to save some money. So he asked her, did you save any money? Did you start saving some money? So she told him that, my father, that you know our living conditions. Our conditions are such that whatever income we get, it's not even sufficient to carry us till the end of the month. What are you talking about? Savings. Our income is not even sufficient to carry us till the end of the month. How will it be possible for us to save money for Hajj? But make dua. So the lesson here that we also have to do, save. We cannot only make dua and sit one side and say, Allah Ta'ala will send from the heavens. But we have to do what is on our part we have to do. So she said, no, I haven't saved anything. So he said, so she told her that you cannot even save 1 rupee, 1 cent every month. This much you cannot even save, 1 rupee every month to say, this is what I can afford. So this is what he told her, at least save 1 rupee, 1 cent. This is your initiative. And nevertheless, it ended there. It is mentioned that not even a few years passed by, and his daughter passed away. 3-4 years later on, she passed away. After she passed away, they were winding up her belongings, gathering her belongings. It wasn't much. And as they were distributing the inheritance, then Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, amongst her belongings, he found a small bag, a small purse. And it was written there, Hajj savings. It was written there, Hajj savings. This was 3-4 years after he had told her this. The small purse was written Hajj savings. When he opened that purse, then he found and he counted, there was 63 rupees. How much? 63 rupees. After 3-4 years of saving, only 63 rupees. This shows us the conditions that they were living in. They had barely sufficient to look after themselves. But on the advice of her father, who was a great person of the time, the author of Ma'riful Quran, she took his advice and she started saving. Not looking at how much, but to save something. It was 63 rupees. And when he held this in his hand, they say he started crying and tearing, remembering that occasion when he told his daughter, what are you doing to go for Hajj? Save at least 1 rupee, and now 63 rupees. And he's crying because she never performed Hajj. She passed away before she could go for Hajj. But the effort on her side. Nevertheless, at that point, he made this niyat and his intention that I will perform Hajj Badal on behalf of my daughter. That I will make this Hajj on behalf of her daughter, of my daughter. So after some time, he managed to go for Hajj, now performing this Hajj Badal on behalf of his daughter. And it is mentioned, these are not fairy tales, they are stories for entertainment purposes. This is reality. I mean, not talking about 1,000 years ago, less than 100 years ago now. We're talking now, recent times. So it is mentioned that now on the day of Arafat, the 9th of Zulhijjah, the Hujjaj are at the plains of Arafah. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, it's the day of dua on the plains of Arafah. Nothing but dua. So he's now making dua. He's on the plains of Arafah, he's making dua. And whilst making dua, he falls off to sleep, he dozes off. And whilst he's asleep, Allah Ta'ala in a dream, he shows him that now here he sees his daughter climbing up Jabal-e-Rahmat. Jabal-e-Rahmat is the mountain that's on the plains of Arafah. He sees his daughter climbing Jabal-e-Rahmat, the same daughter that passed away. A sign of acceptance that Allah Ta'ala has counted her amongst the Hujjaj as well. But where did it start from? So let us keep this in our mind. That we should not look at the outside, what's happening outside, what's the cost every year, it's going higher and higher, how am I going to make it, how am I going to get there. Whatever is within our capacity, let us do it. Allah Ta'ala will make it a reality. Allah Ta'ala will make it a reality. Nevertheless, we are mentioning that this is some encouragement for us, that those that are there, they are there, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala accept it. Those of us who are not there, then we aspire to be there. We make the effort to be there, Allah Ta'ala will take us one day there also, inshallah. So nevertheless, going on today, as we mentioned, the 24th of Dhul-Qa'dah, we are coming to the end of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, and we are coming to the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And we mentioned that these are great days that we are passing through. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned on hadith that Hajj is 3 months. Hajj is 3 months, starting from the month of Shawwal. That means on the first of Shawwal, means the day of Eid. After Ramadan, we had Eid al-Fitr. The first of Shawwal was Eid al-Fitr. From that day, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and Dhul Hijjah, these 3 months are the months of Hajj. Person can put on his ihram on the day of Eid, and he can make the niyat for Hajj. Now we have passed the months of Shawwal, we are coming to the end of the month of Dhul Qa'dah, and we are coming to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Next week, Wednesday, most likely, depending on the sighting of the moon, will be the first of Dhul Hijjah. These first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are very, very great days. Apart from these 3 months being great months, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, we are in great months currently. But these 10 days that are coming, Allah Ta'ala has taken a special qasam on these days. Apart from the month being a special month, these 10 days Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam. In the Quran and Majid, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالِنَ عَشْرٍ. Allah Ta'ala takes the qasam of dawn. And by these 10 days, Mufassirin explained these 10 days, Allah Ta'ala is referring to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. These 10 days, starting from inshallah next week, Wednesday. They are great, auspicious days. Let us take maximum benefit from these days. Let it not be such that these days pass by and we don't benefit. Allah Ta'ala has left something for us, you and I, who are not there on the plains of Arafah, in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinatul Munawwara. We are sitting at home, but Allah Ta'ala did not leave us out. These are also great days where we also can benefit. Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions with regards to these days, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشَرَةِ. That no deed done on any other time of the year is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the deeds and the amal that is done on these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Any action done any other time of the year is not as beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it is done if it is done on these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Most beloved to Allah. Another hadith is mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, a person will fast one day in these first 10 days. The 10th day is not permissible to fast, the day of Eid. So the first 9 days when it comes to fasting, that a person that fasts, every day that he will fast in these first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, he will get the reward equivalent to fasting for the entire year. Just to fast one day, the reward equivalent to fasting the entire year. So if a person fasts for the first 9 days, 9 years of fasting ibadat will be recorded in his book of deeds for him. Showing us the greatness of these days. The hadith further goes on to say that a person who reads salah, 2 rakats, nafil salah on these days, for every rakat, every salah that he will read, the reward will be equivalent to reading salah on the night of Laylatul Qadr. Imagine how great these nights are, these days are. The reward equivalent to the reward that a person will get for reading the salah on the night of Laylatul Qadr. So let us not let these days pass by. Another hadith is mentioned, Sahaba asked that walal jihad, even jihad, that no deed is more greater than deeds done on these days of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, walal jihad fi sabilillah, even jihad also, that if I do a deed on these 10 days, is it greater than jihad also? What's the reason for giving the comparison to jihad? Because jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala is the ultimate sacrifice a person can make for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Person sacrificing his life. The ultimate sacrifice. So Sahaba said, even more greater than jihad also, to do good deeds on these 10 days? Then Nabi says, yes, even greater than jihad. Even greater than jihad, with one exception Nabi Sallam mentioned, that that person who went out in jihad with his wealth, with his life, everything, and did not return. Meaning, he became a shaheed. His life ended in the battlefield. Except this person, there's no other deed that is greater and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than actions done on these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So this we can understand how great these days are. A few specific a'mal with regards to these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, that Allah ta'ala has made it specific in these 10 days that are coming now. That we should increase our amal and these ibadah, special reward for us. The first is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah. This is an extremely great day. reward for the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. The ninth of Dhul Hijjah, what is the day of Arafah? One is the reward for the Hujjaj. Al-Hajj Arafah. Meaning that Hajj is Arafah. That a person who goes for Hajj and he does not come on the plains of Arafat on the ninth of Dhul Hijjah even for a moment, then his Hajj is not complete. Showing us the importance of this day, of this place. So the Hujjaj, the Hajj, got its own significance, the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, the plains of Arafah, that he has to be there, otherwise his Hajj is incomplete. But for you and I, this day of Arafah also is a great day. The hadith mentions that that person who will fast on this day of Arafah, that means you and I sitting here, that we fast on the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala will forgive that person's past year's sin for the entire previous year. Whatever sin this person committed in that year, Allah ta'ala will forgive him. And also the coming year's sin, whatever sin he makes, going to make in the coming year also, Allah ta'ala will forgive that sin as well. So one of the past year, coming year sin also, just to fast on this day of ninth of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah. So this is also a significant day for us. Then we get also on these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the days of Ayyam al-Tashriq. The days of Ayyam al-Tashriq, which is only significant in these days. Starting from the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah, from the day of Arafah, from Fajr, right till the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, Asr. That after every Salah, these are called the days of Tashriq, Ayyam al-Tashriq, where a person makes the Tashriq, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, that he will recite the Tashriq after every Salah. For the men, that will read this Tashriq after every Farz Salah, once loudly, and the women folk, our mothers and sisters, it is also wajib for them also that after their Farz Salah, they will recite this softly. This ibadat and this amal is unique only for these days of Dhul Hijjah. Showing us the speciality and the significance of these days. These are called the days of Ayyam al-Tashriq. Then also significant on these days, there are lessons to be taken out from all this. Inshallah, if time permits, we'll discuss it. Also on these first 10 days, that person who has the intention and the niyat of making qurbani, these are all masail regarding qurbani, that if any one of us intending to perform qurbani, to slaughter an animal on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, on the day of Eid, then also it is mentioned that that person should preferably should not clip his nails from the 1st of Dhul Hijjah, trim and remove his unwanted hairs also from the 1st of Dhul Hijjah, which is Wednesday most likely, depending on the sighting of the moon, till the time his animal is slaughtered. So this also is a unique amal, only on these days. No other time you will find a person, it is mentioned that a person should not clip his nails. In fact, it is amongst the adabs and the sunnats on the day of Yawmul Jumu'ah that a person should remove his unwanted hairs and clip his nails. But here we are told, if you don't do it, you will get reward. If you don't do it, Allah Ta'ala will reward you for it. Those of us who are making Hajj, Qurbani. This is unique to these days as well. And the culmination of this entire season, as we mentioned, the season started from Ramadan. It was a season of ibadat, a season of us accumulating and gaining the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan, the month of Shawwal, the month of Dhul Qa'dah, the month of Dhul Hijjah. And the culmination of all this comes in the act of Qurbani on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, where a person now sacrifices. It brings the culmination and the end to this great month and the season. Now a person sacrifices. And this also unique to these days. Any other time of the year, a person can slaughter 101 animals also. You get the reward for slaughtering and distribution. But you will never get the reward of slaughtering an animal on the days of Eid. Where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, لِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ, that for every fiber on the animal, on the body of that animal, a person will get reward for it. This is unique only to the days of Eid. Slaughtering an animal on the day of Eid. Sahaba asked, what about those animals who don't have hair, they have fiber, that for every fiber also, there's a reward for this person. Unique to the days of Eid only. Any other time of the year, a person slaughters an animal, he will not get this reward. So this also is a means of encouragement, But those of us who have the mean, we have the nisab amount. And this is not conditional that we have the nisab amount. Many people have the misunderstanding that I have to have the nisab amount. Currently the nisab is about 10 or 12,000 and we should see it. It's about 12,000 and the nisab amount. That if a person has nisab amount, many have the misunderstanding that I have to have nisab for the nisab amount for the entire year for me to make qurbani. No. Anybody who has the nisab amount on the days of Eid, qurbani becomes wajib for that person. If a person has the nisab amount on the morning of Eid, that day qurbani becomes wajib on that person. So those of us who has the nisab amount, qurbani is wajib upon us. It's not necessary that we must have that money, that nisab amount for one entire year. That masla is regarding zakat, whether we have to pay zakat, we have to have that wealth for one entire lunar year. But when it comes to qurbani, if a person has that money on the morning of the days of Eid, qurbani becomes wajib upon him on that day. So those of us who have this, let us make sure that we make qurbani, we buy an animal, and we slaughter this animal. This will be a means of us gaining much reward in the akhirat. For every fiber, for every hair on that animal, Allah Ta'ala will reward us. And these are unique to the days of Eid. So these are the few things that are specific to these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And in the hadith it is mentioned that what amongst the many ibadat that we should do, one is mentioned in the hadith that a person should increase the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in these 10 days. Apart from all the other ibadats, a person should increase the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on these 10 days. And the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is such an amal, such an ibadat, there has no conditions attached to it. Meaning a person doesn't have to come to the masjid. This person doesn't have to be in a condition of wudu, taharat, be in a state of wudu. A person doesn't have to be, it can be any time of the day. There's no specific time. A person can be lying down, he can be traveling, he can be doing anything, and he can be in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. And the dhikr that is mentioned in the hadith that we should increase in these days is the third kalima. The tahleel, the tahmeed, the tasbih, the takbir. These four things. Tahmeed, tasbih, tahleel, and tahmeed. Very simple. What are these four things? That subhanallah, tasbih. Alhamdulillah, that is tahmeed. La ilaha illallah, that is tahleel. And Allahu Akbar is takbir. These four adhkar we should make in abundance in these days of Dhul-Hijjah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Very, very simple, very, very easy. All of us know this. One more time, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. This is our third kalima. This is something we should read in excessiveness in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Now coming back to the end, all these things that we have mentioned, there's one important lesson it teaches us. And this is the lesson that we should take home. What is the lesson behind this? Quran and Majid, all the incident that it relates to us, tells us about what happened in the past, what's going to happen, etc. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, what is the reason and the object for all this? That you take ibrat, you take lesson. So not just fairy tales for us to read what happened in that year, what happened in this year, what happened to that nation. No, Allah Ta'ala says to take lessons. So we have to take lessons in everything. So all these ibadats that are specific in these 10 days is teaching us one common lesson from amongst many lessons. And the common lesson that we find in all these things is the ita'at and the obedience to Allah Ta'ala. This common point and lesson is found in all these actions. The obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Time doesn't allow us to go into everyone. But we find that on these days, example we gave, we are told not to clip our nails. Why? It's the command of Allah. It goes against logic. It goes against our sense. Common sense tells you keep your nails short. Other times of the year it's an ibadat. This time of the year it's ibadat not to do it. Why? Command of Allah. I have to follow it. I have to accept it. Ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has commanded me, I must do this. These are days of Hajj. Allah Ta'ala has commanded us. 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. We will leave Makkatul Mukarrama, the most sacred place on the earth, the Baytullah. You leave it now. And you'll go to Mina, to Arafah, to Muzdalifah, back to Mina. You'll spend 5 to 6 days in these places. You will leave the Haramain, the Haram Sharif, out. You will not read one salah in the Haram also. Where one salah equivalent to 100,000 times. Now Allah Ta'ala is telling you, leave Makkah, leave Baytullah and go to the barren lands of Mina. The virtue is there now. The command of Allah Ta'ala, everyone leaves the Haram Sharif and goes to Mina. Next day go to Arafah. Why? Because it's the command of Allah. Any other time of the year, Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah has no virtue to it. No reward to it. But now Allah Ta'ala is telling you the reward and my command is now you must be here. You must not be in the Baytullah. You'd have to go there. So in itaat and obedience to Allah Ta'ala, we will leave the Haram Sharif and now we'll go to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. Teaching us again, the command of Allah is given preference over everything. We are told now on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, you make Qurbani. So now we will make Qurbani on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And like this, every other ibadat, every other command of Allah Ta'ala must be given preference. We don't question the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our duty is to comply. Whether it makes sense to us, whether it does not make sense to us. But if it is the command of Allah, then sami'na wa ata'na. This is what Sahaba told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we will not say what the Bani Israel said, sami'na wa asayna. We heard, but we disobeyed. This was Bani Israel. Sahaba said, sami'na wa ata'na. We heard, and we obeyed. That is why they became Sahaba. That is why Allah Ta'ala speaks about them in Quran and Majid. We cannot come like Sahaba. We cannot become Sahaba. But we can follow the footsteps of Sahaba. We can follow the path that they have left for us. That how they listened and they fulfilled the commands of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala became pleased with them. Allah Ta'ala can also become pleased with us also. That door is still open, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. This is the greatest thing a person can achieve is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That's what Allah Ta'ala said to Sahaba, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. That we were pleased with Sahaba, Sahaba were pleased with us. The greatest thing they could accomplish was the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Inshallah, also one very important announcement, inshallah, today in our masjid, Sanford Masjid, inshallah, there will be a youth program taking place. There will be a youth, special youth program taking place for all our youngsters. So inshallah, this program will be taking place in Sanford, in our masjid. After Maghrib today till Isha, there will be meals, refreshments also for the youngsters. Humble appeal to gather our youngsters, our sons, our nephews, our friends, and invite them and bring them to this program. This is same thing now, how we can get linked to Allah Ta'ala. How our youngsters can be linked to Allah, linked to the masjid, fulfill the commands. Today they are our youth, they are our youngsters. Tomorrow they are our leaders. Tomorrow these same very youngsters are our leaders. And a nation is judged according to the youth and the youngsters. That nation will prosper and has a bright future whose youth are on track. That they got hope, they got a future, that nation, whose youth are in line. Their direction is correct. But that nation whose youth have failed them and their youth have lost track, that nation has no future. So the future of our deen also, the future of our iman also, of our progeny lies in our youth. Tomorrow we will be gone, they will be here. So let us make effort on our youth. Let us encourage them to come to this program, inshallah. It's not a long program from Maghrib to Isha. But inshallah, there will be great benefit will come out of this, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala.